Looks like somebody prayed.
So the idea today is that when we study the Old Testament, we can't just jump to the New Testament and not having read the Old Testament and to expect to have all of its context of the Bible. Does that make sense to you? And so the Old Testament kind of sets the stage for what has taken place in the New Testament. And so when we look at the Old Testament, you see in the book of Genesis how we were created. In the very first book of the Bible, it says that God created the heavens and the earth. You know, like two of life's biggest questions. How did we get here? And what is my purpose? That's answered in the very first few pages of Genesis. Whenever you open up the Bible, it tells you God created the heavens and the earth. God created man and he created woman. And then he also gives you a purpose. He tells Adam and Eve, he puts them in the Garden of Eden. He tells them to be fruitful and to multiply and replenish the earth. They had a purpose. They were to have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air. And they were to have dominion. And so God gives, not only creates mankind, but he also gives them a purpose. That's found right there in the very opening passage of Genesis. And so without proper context of understanding the Old Testament, the New Testament really doesn't make a whole lot of sense if we only jump into the New Testament. Now, I have been guilty, like whenever someone gets saved, I said, man, jump into the New Testament, right? Because it's easy to read. And that's true, and that's good. And it tells stories about Jesus and tells stories about his life. But I think Genesis is so valuable, you know, to us in understanding our origins and where we come from and God's plan for mankind. So, did you know that our English Standard Version Bibles that we read, the little blue Bibles that you have in the back of your seat, there are 66 books in the Bible. Anybody ever read 66 books before? Well, if you've read the Bible, you've read 66 books, and so that's encouraging. If you join us with our plan, our Bible reading plan, at the end of this year, you'll be able to say, I read 66 books of the Bible. Isn't that incredible? So of those 66 books, the Old Testament is made up of 39 books, and so that's a lot of books. And it was written over a span of 1,000 years. And whenever we consider the text of the Bible, we must understand man wrote the Bible, but it was inspired by God. So this is God's word. This is God inspiring different men like Moses and Joshua and Samuel and all these different men throughout time. And they wrote down what God had put upon their heart. So we have to have this understanding that God, the Bible that we read, it is inspired by God. Amen. It was written by man, it is inspired by God. Now, one thing to consider, or one main theme, as we think about the whole Bible, even the Old Testament, is that God is establishing his kingdom in his place with his people. Amen. And so that's one thing to consider throughout the whole entire Bible. God is establishing his kingdom in his place with his people. So in the book of Genesis, what that looked like, God made a place. He created the heavens and the earth. That's the place. The place was, even to narrow it down a little bit more, was the Garden of Eden. That was God's place. It was a beautiful, the most amazing place that you could think of. Whenever I think of the Garden of Eden, I like to think of Costa Rica. If you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about. It is like absolutely beautiful. Breathtaking. And so that was God's place. Then he establishes his people, Adam and Eve. So we have God, we have a place, and we have his people. So ultimately it's about God's rule reigning in the hearts of his people throughout the entire Bible. And so whenever God establishes his rule with Adam and Eve, what that looked like was, hey, you can eat of the trees, any of the trees. He gave them freedom to eat of any of the trees that were out there except for this one tree. Now, if you have kids and you know what this is like, right? You tell them you can have all of this, but don't eat this. You know exactly what they want, right? They want the thing that they cannot have. And so it is with Adam and Eve. God had given them, his rule was that you can have whatever you want. You could enjoy all the goodness of the Garden of Eden, except that one tree. That one belongs to me. Don't touch it, is what he says. And so as we go through this, just keep that in mind, that it is God's kingdom being established in his place amongst his people under his rule. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the structure of the Old Testament. So we have this fancy little chart that we came up with. And so if you're looking at your Old Testament Bible, if you notice on the top line, I have the English Bible. That's the ESV, any English standard Bibles that we read from. But we also have the Hebrew Bible. And you can see that there's a difference in the way that they are presented. Now, the context, the information, all the information is there in both the English Bible and the Hebrew Bible. They're just arranged a little bit differently. And so if we're looking at the Old Testament, you'll notice in the English part of the Bible, at the very top it says law. We have five books considered the law of Moses, also known as the Torah. And so if you ever heard that word, Torah, that's what it's referring to, the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And then we move on to the history tab. And as you can see, I have like little dates underneath that kind of show you about the time frame these books were written, just to kind of give you a rough estimate. So when we talk about the history, we're looking at Joshua and all the conquests that he took upon. He led the children of Israel into the promised land. We look at Judges, where after Joshua, it says that there arose a people who they didn't have a king, and so they did what was right in their own eyes. And so, but God meant them, that there was something on the inside of them that said, I need to be ruled. And so God raises up some judges, and you might have heard of Samson and Delilah. Not Delilah. You might have heard of Samson and Deborah and Gideon, these different judges. You see Ruth and 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings and 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. And so Ezra and Nehemiah occurred during the time whenever they're rebuilding Jerusalem after the Babylonian exile. Then we look at books of like poetry and wisdom. And so we see the Job, Psalms. We talked about Job earlier in all of his trials. If there was a man on earth who has endured some trials in this life, it was the man Job. And if you feel like you can relate to what Brother McKinley was saying, read the book of Job. If you feel like life is just pressing you and just really overwhelming you, read the book of Job. It's something. The book of Psalms, we see many of the songs of David and even of Moses. Proverbs, some of the wisdom of King Solomon. Ecclesiastes, my sister this morning was reading from the book of Ecclesiastes when I went greet her this morning. Song of Solomon. I would suggest maybe married couples read that one. Prophets. Okay, so then we move on to some of the prophets. We have, now this is broken up into two categories. We have the major prophets and we have the minor prophets. You had major prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel. These are considered the major prophets. And then the minor prophets, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Now, the difference between these two, as you can see, is that some of the books like Daniel and Lamentations are not part of the... They're not part of the major prophets in the Hebrew Bible. And there's also some, like instead of the history, they would be included in the writings. Like, like Job, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. So those are just tapped into the writings part of the Hebrew Bible. But again, all the context is there. Everything is the same from the English to the Hebrew Bible. They're just arranged a little bit differently. So hopefully that was just a quick, helpful hint to kind of let you know what's kind of going on in the Old Testament. So if you've picked up the Old Testament before and you're like, I just really don't understand what's going on. And let me just say, persevere, just keep on going, keep on reading. You might read through Leviticus and you might get bogged down. You might read through Numbers, and there's a lot of numbers in the book of Numbers. And it's called Numbers for a reason. You just got to persevere. Just kind of read through it, you know, just make yourself do it. And even if you don't understand it, and there's always something that you can realize, is that Scripture, it always points to Jesus. And so one thing that you can always ask yourself whenever you're going through the Old Testament Scriptures is, how does this relate to Jesus? Amen. And so, and that's the main thing. The Old Testament is setting up the stage for the Messiah. Whenever we consider the law, we're looking at Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. When we consider the law, we not only see the beginning where God created mankind and gave them a purpose, but we also see the fall of mankind, where man sinned against God. And so they're living in this perfect place where they're living in God's kingdom that was established. They're living in his land, in his garden, under his rule. But then they decide, I don't want to be ruled by God. And they think that they can rule themselves. And so instead of listening to what God said, they disobeyed God's rule. And they ate of the tree that they were not supposed to eat from. And from this, the relationship between God and man was severed. There's a separation that took place. In fact, God kicked them out of the garden. He kicked them out of their place, out of his place. So therefore, they were not under his rule. And if you're not submitted to the rule of God, you're not going to enjoy the blessings of God. And so we see this because of what Adam and Eve did, that sin entered the world. And ever since then, God has this plan of restoring mankind, where his kingdom would be established in the hearts of his people once again. So he raises up the patriarchs. He raises up a man named Abraham. You may have heard of Abraham. Again, this is all in the law, the Torah. And he calls Abraham from the land of his family, the land of his fathers, and says, follow me, I have a place. I'm leading you to a place. I'm leading you to the land of Canaan, which is the promised land. And your descendants are going to be as numerous as the stars in the sky. Your descendants are going to be as numerous as the sand on the seashore. And so we see that God's promise through Abraham. And then we see Abraham, we see his son Isaac and Jacob. Jacob's name is turned to Israel. Israel has 12 sons, and they are the tribes of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel. And all of this is about God restoring his kingdom amongst his people, bringing them to his land so that he can rule over his people. And so this is the essence of the Old Testament, and we see God's faithfulness to his chosen people, Israel, throughout the Old Testament. We see how time and time again, God delivers them. He delivered not only from Egypt and from Pharaoh, but he delivered them from the all the ites, you know, the mosquito bites and the Jebusites and all the ites. He delivered them from all the ites, and they conquered land, and God was always with them. But then we talk about the judges, and we start to see that They needed to be ruled by someone, and they're crying out for a king. They say, look, we want to be ruled by a king just like all the other nations. God was supposed to be their king, but yet their hearts are like, we want to be like all the other nations. So God says, all right, let it be so. And so he causes Samuel to anoint the man Saul, and Saul becomes king over Israel. And from this point, this, you know, again, this is all pointing to the fact that Jesus is a better king, right? But right now, Israel's in this moment where they have these kings that are set up. We see Saul being the first king. Then we see David coming right after Saul. But then after that, it just gets worse. You see Solomon, and Solomon, the wives of Solomon begin to turn his heart away from the Lord. He begins to worship other gods. And every king after this begins to lead Israel away from the worship of Yahweh and begin to worship these false gods. And the moral decline that takes place because of these kings, Israel's heart is turned away from the Lord. And so God would only tolerate this for so long. And we see that because of this, God raises up the prophets. We talked a little bit about the prophets in this chart. And these prophets says, this is what the Lord says. Thus said the Lord. And so God raised up these major prophets, you know, Ezekiel and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Daniel, to proclaim to God's people that you should turn and repent from your sins, because judgment is coming upon you if you do not. I'm about to drive you out of this land that I brought you to if you do not turn from your sins. And so we see this over and over again, where God sends prophet after prophet after prophet after prophet after prophet to warn his people. But you know what? They were stubborn. They were stubborn. They did not listen. They did whatever they wanted to do. They let their own desires and their own hearts drive them. And so, therefore, God had no choice. And I want you to see this in the Old Testament. Though you will see, you know, that the northern kingdom, Israel, being swept away, you know, by the Assyrians, you will see the southern kingdom, Judah, being taken away into exile into Babylon. God gave them chance after chance after chance to turn from their sin. And so this, again, is a theme throughout the Old Testament, that mercy precedes judgment. Mercy precedes judgment. And so you might ask, well, how can God just destroy his people? Well, he gave them chance after chance after chance after chance to turn from their sins, and they didn't. So eventually, God says, okay, you picked your sins, reap the consequences of it. And so that's a good portion of the Old Testament. And we see these prophets, and we know that as we go through this, as we read this, that everything the prophets foretold, it took place. They were the northern kingdom was taken away. The southern kingdom was exiled to Babylon. They were removed from God's place, no longer under God's rule, no longer reaping the benefits of God's blessing. This is where we find the children of Israel, desperate, needing a Savior, needing someone to stand on their behalf, to stand in the gap for them, to intercede for them. You know, just briefly talking about the law, whenever God gave them the law, this was a way where if they were to obey the law of God, then this relationship would be restored. But what the law proved was that mankind is not able to do enough good, to do enough good things to earn their salvation. Because we learned through the Bible, if you offend one aspect of the law, then you are guilty of it all. And so what God was showing by giving the law, it is impossible for you to earn your own salvation. And so we see Israel, we see this, see them in this place, this desperate place of just needing a miracle, needing someone to stand on their behalf, needing a Messiah. And so the prophets, even though they prophesied judgment and doom over Israel, they also prophesied that there would be someone, there will be a king, that God will establish his kingdom once again through his king, and that this king was to rule over the earth amongst his people. And you know what? You know who this king is? Jesus. This king is Jesus. And so, yes, he has come to the earth, and yes, he has established his kingdom through the cross, but we know that one day he is coming back again, and that one day we will be caught up in the clouds with him. and that he will forever establish his kingdom, and that we will forever be his people, that he will forever be our God, that we will forever be living in his land under his rule, experiencing his blessing forever and ever and ever. So the Old Testament kind of leaves you in this place where you're anticipating the arrival of the Messiah. He hasn't come yet at the end of the Old Testament. It doesn't take place until the book of Matthew. And speaking of that, just briefly, when we look at the book of Matthew, it begins with the ancestry of Jesus, the lineage. And it's looking back in that lineage, you can see David in that lineage. You go back a little bit further and you see Abraham in that lineage. You go back a little bit further and you see Adam in that lineage. It was God's promise to mankind that I'm sending you a king to reestablish my kingdom. And every name that you see right there is God reaffirming to his people, that's you and I, that he will establish his kingdom amongst his people in his place, and we will be under his rule experiencing his blessing. So, we talked about the structure of the Old Testament. We talked about all these different books and what they mean. But what is the overall message of the Old Testament? Jesus. Jesus is the overall message of the Old Testament. So we must ask ourselves every single time, Lord, how does this relate to Jesus? When we consider some of the prophets, Jesus is a better prophet than they were. When we consider the priest of old, Jesus is our high priest, how he intercedes and makes atonement for our sins. When we think of the sacrifices of the Israelites and how they would have to find that pure and spotless lamb to offer that sacrifice for the atonement of their sin, Jesus is a better sacrifice for us, because his blood is the only blood that makes us clean and washes away our guilt and washes away our shame. Jesus is a better sacrifice. He is that pure and spotless lamb without blemish, without sin, without any type of shame. It's Jesus. The Old Testament is a picture of Jesus. And so we know this because Jesus mentions it about himself. Looking at Luke chapter 24, verse 25 to 27, and he says, "And he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken." So apparently the prophets had spoken something that was tremendously valuable, and they had spoken about Jesus. Look at it. "Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" Jesus says, the suffering that I'm about to engage into, it was already foretold in the prophets. Why do you not believe? The not only the suffering, but the fact that I would enter into my glory again, that also was prophesied by the prophets. Why do you not believe? Verse 27, and beginning with Moses, so we're talking about the law of Moses, and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, that is a very unique perspective that no one else on the planet can do. Like, read the Old Testament to someone and say, that all points to me. That's me. That person they're talking about, yeah, that man that Isaiah wrote about, that's me. Standing right in front of him. That's incredible. That is incredible perspective. And so Jesus affirms through the scriptures that the Old Testament points to him. This whole story points to Jesus. And the story of God's plan is to glorify himself by establishing his kingdom through a covenant relationship with his people. So why is the Old Testament important to us today? As I mentioned, the Old Testament is a picture. We see what has taken place. We see the faithfulness of our God. we see that God is a covenant-making and keeping God. That whenever God made a covenant to Abraham, he was able to fulfill it. When God promised him that his descendants will be as numerous as the stars he fulfilled it. He fulfilled the fact that he brought about a king, a Messiah. And if he fulfilled those promises to those people, that we know that the promises of God are yes and amen. That one day he is coming back for his people. We are told this in the New Testament. This is another covenant, another promise that he makes with his people. He says, I will come again and receive you unto myself. He says, where I am, there you will be also. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going to prepare a place for you. Amen. It's going to be a place that won't burn. Like, we pray for those people in California right now who are just, you know, losing homes. So many homeless people right now. We pray for them. But one day we will have a place that will have no more pain, no more sorrow, no more hurt that we endure on this earth. It's going to be a great place. It's going to be God's kingdom. The new Jerusalem with God's people forever and ever worshiping our God. It's going to be glorious. It's going to be amazing. And I hope that you're prepared for it. I hope that your hearts are right with the Lord. God establishing his kingdom in his place with his people. You know, whenever Jesus came, he gave this commission. Because his kingdom was established, it has infiltrated the earth. But there were more that were needing to be brought in to the kingdom of God. So therefore, he commissions his people to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Teaching them to baptize. You know, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Teaching them all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. In other words, the kingdom of God being established on the earth, it has gained momentum. It has gained traction. But yet it is to grow. It is to grow even more. The kingdom of God is to replenish and multiply and have dominion over the earth, over the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of God is to grow. And we all have a part to play. We all have this part to play. We believe that he will be our God, and we will be his people. We believe that we will be in his land, underneath his rule, living amongst his people, enjoying his blessings. And when we have this perspective of the Old Testament, everything just makes sense. The kingdoms look differently. The places the Israelites went to were different places. But yet the message is the same. Now perhaps you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. Perhaps you've never accepted the gift of salvation. He is not ruling over your life. In fact, you are ruling over your life. You do according to what you want to do. Today, I want to give you an invitation. I would give you the invitation. The invitation is to simply say yes to Jesus. Say, yes, Lord, I today, from this day forward, I want to be a part of your kingdom. I want to be a part of a kingdom in which you are ruling over my life. I want to be a part of your kingdom in which I am in perfect fellowship with your people and enjoying your blessings. And we like the blessing part, right? God gave me the blessings. But are you willing to deal with the sin this morning? Are you willing to deal with the issues of your life? it all points to Jesus. Let us bow our heads and close our eyes this morning as we close out. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for this message. We thank you for the Old Testament. Give us understanding, oh God, as we dive into the scriptures. Lord, as we commit to reading your word, as we commit to having a firm foundation in our lives, God, let us be like Daniel, who trusted you in the lion's den. God, let us be like Noah to build that ark and to trust you, Lord God, even whenever he has never seen rain or floods. God, let us be, Lord, like Gideon, to trust that you fight our battles for us, so God. Lord, there's so much and there's so many lessons that we can learn from the Old Testament. But one of the greatest things that we can learn is that you are wanting to establish your kingdom in our hearts. So Lord, today we surrender to that. We ask God that you would cleanse us of all of our sins. We confess you as Lord of our life, that you are our King. There is no other. Can you say that this morning? There is no other king but Jesus. You reign and rule in my heart today. Come and have your way in my life. I repent of my sins. Lord, we know that from the examples of the Old Testament, sin will be judged. But we also know from the Old Testament, you are a God of mercy. You suffer long with us. You are long-suffering. You didn't immediately wipe out your people, but you've given them chance after chance to turn from their sins. You are a merciful God. You are a loving God. And yes, you are a God of wrath, a God of judgment. We repent of our sins today. Forgive us and make us whole. We want to be your people. We want to be living in the place where you called us to live. We want to thrive in the place where you called us to thrive, oh God. We want everything that we do to be about your kingdom and establishing your kingdom in the earth. For it is all about you and it's not about us, oh God. We love you and we surrender to you, oh Lord, today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you give the Lord some praise in the house this morning? If you have given your life to the Lord for the first time, would you just go in the first classroom and someone will meet with you in the first classroom and we can just share more of you about the gift of salvation. But for us in the room that know Jesus, we are going to see you Friday. Turn to your neighbor and say Friday at 6:30. And also, grab a hold of the Bible plan. We have a booklet at the front desk you can grab. It's in your bulletin if those ever got printed. They're also, if you like us on the YouVersion Bible app, and get started today and read through the Old Testament because Jesus is there. We love you guys and see you this Wednesday at 6:30.